Today's daf is Kuftesim Bav Mitzia. We're in the ninth parak of the Masechta, and we're continuing our discussion regarding Schirus and Chachirus, but we are in the middle of Kuftesim Bav Mitzia, so actually we're on the top of Kuftesim Bav Mitzia, and we're going to finish off a discussion yesterday of Dina de Bar Mitzvah. The Torah says, Vasisa Yashav Atov, you have to do what's right. As a general mission statement, we have to be decent people. We have to be good people. And the Torah says, and the Ramban, I mentioned the Ramban yesterday, just it's good opening for today's daf, or for finishing yesterday's daf. The Ramban says that, generally speaking, the Torah can't give us every single detail regarding Dine Mamonos. There's so many complexities and details, and just so many different scenarios in terms of how money's going to play out between people. So therefore, the Torah is going to give us some of the most basic guidelines in terms of general monetary conduct with one person to another, and then we got to fill in the blanks. One of the blanks that we're filling in the course of yesterday's daf, was this halach of Dina de Bar Mitzvah. Dina de Bar Mitzvah means as follows. It means that if I'm going to sell a property, and I want to sell, and the truth of the matter is that it's really an open market, I can sell to whomever I want, but look, I have a neighbor, and the neighbor would love it to have two properties that are contiguous one to another. So I have nothing to lose by selling it to him over selling it to another person, presumably. Again, there are many details, obviously, but we're just speaking in the most fundamental terms. I've got nothing to lose, so of course I should sell it to my neighbor and make an offer to my neighbor rather than offer it to somebody else. And so therefore, that gives my neighbor a right. That's what's called Dina de Bar Mitzvah. And it gives him a right where basically now, if I sell to somebody else, so now my neighbor can come over to me or to my buyer and say to him, look, I don't know what he was doing. He didn't talk to me. He didn't offer me anything. I legitimately have a right to buy from him first. And so therefore, that's the right of Dina de Bar Mitzvah. We discussed yesterday in the Gemara, if let's say I speak to the neighbor and I say to him, look, I want to buy that property. Can you waive your right? So does that need a kinyan? Does that not need a kinyan? In other words, it's real. This halacha of Dina de Bar Mitzvah is a real halacha, meaning it has teeth to it. And so that was a discussion yesterday. And we're going to start today on the very top of Kuf Ches Amud Beis, and we're going to do Matana. Now, we did Matana yesterday. I know we did Matana yesterday, but this is just, it's a good place to start because it just deals with a string of halachas where you do not have the Dina de Bar Mitzvah right, you the neighbor. So Matana leis ba mishum Dina de Bar Mitzvah. So if let's say my neighbor, instead of selling the land, he gives the land away. So then, there is no Dina de Bar Mitzvah right. I can't simply say, hey, wait a second, gift it to me. I deserve it. Now, and it's funny, and it's obvious, because when you're gifting it to somebody, that means that it's not just a sale where it's an open market, and I'm just selling it to whoever is giving me the money. But if I'm gifting it, it's obviously that I want that particular person to have it. So therefore, my neighbor does not have the right of Dina de Bar Mitzvah, and he can't simply claim, okay, I'm entitled to be the recipient. It's okay, so Matan Leif Bei Mishum Dina de Bar Mitzvah, so that's where we're starting today, on the top of Kuf Ches Amud Beis. Now, Amar HaMeimar, Yikasuv L'Achrayis, is Bei Mishum Dina de Bar Mitzvah. So Abaye says, I'm sorry, Meimar says, but wait one second. If let's say it's a gift, but it's a gift with a guarantee. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, that's unusual. Right. If I gift somebody to somebody, a piece of property to somebody, I'm not going to guarantee it. If, let's say, my creditor comes and takes it away and forecloses on the property, so now I'm going to reimburse him. He never even paid me. So once we are introducing achrayus into the equation, it's more like a sale. And maybe it could be that there was a little bit of underhandedness to it. Why in the world would I be guaranteeing it? Okay. Machar kol nechasov la'echad. Let's be shemishim dina bar mitzvah, and here we go now with a series of other occasions where we're not going to say dina bar mitzvah. Let's say I sell all my properties to one individual, so now there's not going to be a question of dina. There's not going to be a right, I should say, of dina bar mitzvah, because again, what's the idea over here? The idea over here is that once I'm selling all my properties to one individual, clearly I have some sort of special connection with this one individual. Maybe he's going to, because I'm selling all my properties, I'm going to get a premium price. It's clear that there is a special and unique relationship. Again, just to hammering this point one time after another. This halach of Dina de Bar Mitzvah, this right of Dina de Bar Mitzvah, is that there's no benefit of him doing it to somebody over doing it to his neighbor. So give the neighbor the first right. But once you see that once there's an indication that there's some benefit involved in him selling it to a particular person, so then the neighbor no longer has his right of deed into bar mitzvah.
Also, he is selling the whole thing.
Right.
And the guy next door is not going to buy the whole thing.
Correct. Exactly. Exactly. All right, lebalim harishonim. Let's say it's sold, but it's sold back to the original owner. So that means now that I sold it back to the person I bought it from. I bought it from a person, I sold it back to him. So there's no deal to bar mitzvah. And again, it speaks to the idea that who am I selling it to now? Not just anybody, but the person who had it. Truth of the matter is, maybe wanted it back. Obviously, he wanted it back. He's now buying it back. So again, it's a special sale. It's a special relationship, and so therefore, the neighbor does not have the right of deed to buy mitzvah. So zavan me'akum. Continuing now, let's say I bought it from a non-Jew, or zavin la'akum. Or let's say I sell it to a non-Jew. In both those circumstances, lays by Mishum Din Dabar Mitzvah, so the neighbor no longer has a right. And now let's go over each one of them individually. So, Zavan Me'akom, if I bought it from a non-Jew, so then, the Amar Lay, so what do I say now to the neighbor? I say to the neighbor, Ari Avrichel Chame Mitzvah. Oh, look what I did. I got the line away from you. Meaning, you're going to have a complaint against me. You should have been the buyer. I did you a favor. And so, in other words, how can you make the argument, Vasisa Yeshiva Tov, I did good by you. Meaning, I'm now your new neighbor. And Zavin Lakum.
I'm not your new
neighbor. Right, that's right. That's right. I did good by you. I'm here. Zavin la'akum, and let's go in the other direction. Let's say you sell it to a non-Jew. So akum v'adalabar avasisa yeshiva tovu. Now remember, if you're selling it to a non-Jew, so now what's the complaint? The Torah says vasisa yeshiva tovu. Torah is talking to us. Torah is not talking to the nachri. So obviously now you can't turn to him and say, hey, wait a second. You need to do the right thing. You can't buy it from him. I'm the one buying from him. He's not Jewish. Okay. And the Gemara says, oh, by the way, let's just throw in a parenthetical note over here. You sold your property to a Nachri. Now, obviously, Nachri over here, meaning somebody who is going to be a very difficult neighbor. So basically what you did is you sold your property to somebody. Now, who is going to be a difficult neighbor? So we're going to put the seller in Cherem. And until he accepts upon himself, look, if anything bad happens from him, I'm going to accept that upon myself. So it wasn't right what he did in terms of selling it to the Nachri.
Is that talking about that? No.
I don't think so. I think it just means that we're talking about not just a Nachri, but an Ovid, Avodas Kochavim, somebody who's really.
You're not supposed to say that's his
story. Understood. Yeah, I don't think this is limited. My impression is that this is not limited to just Eretz Yisrael. Mashkanas leis b'mishum din dabar mitzvah. What if you are holding the property as a collateral? Okay, we talk about collateral in terms of a regular loan, and we talk about holding a property as collateral against a loan. We spoke about it extensively in the fifth parak of Bava Metzia. Part of the reason why we did that is because there could be interest issues or ribbis issues. If I am lending somebody money and I'm holding the property and I'm living on the property, let me just rephrase that. It's not that it could be ribbis issues. There are ribbis issues. And we discussed back then, Mashkanasa Desura, there are ways in which we deal with the ribbis issues. The Chachamim instructed us what to do. But in the meantime, however, we're just talking right now from the context of Din Debar Metzra. From that standpoint, if I am holding a property as a security for a loan, and I then assume ownership, so there, the neighbor doesn't have the right of Dina Debar Metzra. Mashkanata Leit Be Mishum Dina Debar Metzra, Da'am Ravashi, Amar Le Sab, Damasa, Mechasya, Mai Mashkanasa. A Gemara that we saw earlier, the Gemara is now repeating again. Why is it that when I'm holding somebody's property, it's called the Mashkon? The word itself speaks to an idea. The idea is Dishkuna Gabe. I'm there. I'm a Shachin, meaning I'm right now the closest neighbor to that property. It's not mine. I don't own it. But the fact that I'm holding that security, shachen, it's as if I'm a neighbor. So my nafkamina deed the bar mitzvah, and it means as follows. Now, when it comes time to quote unquote sell the property, so I'm the shachen. I'm the closest neighbor to that property. I have the closest relationship to that property. Okay. Next, this is in my count. I'm counting this as number 7. whatever. The score over here isn't that important, but okay. Limkor Berecha Vilego Bekarov. Bira Vilego Beyafe. Let's say he is selling this property. His property to the owner happens to be far away from his central point, whatever that central point may be. Or let's say it's not the best property, and he has an opportunity to buy a even better property. So here also there's no right of the neighbor to claim, hey, wait a second, I need a chance to buy it. And again, over here, what's the idea? The idea is, look, he needs money and he needs it fast. This Dina de Bar Metzra is talking about where the circumstances are such where it's not going to make a difference if I sell it to my neighbor, if I sell it to an outsider. Here, because he is buying the property to basically buy another property, he needs the money now. So now you're going to impede his need of the money by saying, wait one second, go to the neighbor, ask the neighbor, make sure you give him the right. If you have a strong need for the money and you found a buyer and he's presenting the money to you now, so then there's no, you don't have to extend the courtesy of Dina de Bar Metzra to the neighbor. Lekarga lemazone ulekvur leis b'mishum Dina de Bar Metzra. Okay, I'm up to number 8 now. In the 8th time where you don't have to extend the courtesy. And that is, you, again, it's the same basic idea. Yeah. You need the money, and you need it now. They're coming and collecting taxes, mazone, support, kvura, there's a burial, you need the money for burial. So again, you are in quick and demanding need of the money. So once again, you don't have to turn to the neighbor and say, look, as a courtesy, I'm going to extend this, I'm offering the property to, in other words, you don't have to go through that. You need the money right now. So under those circumstances, there is no need to extend that courtesy. Just as another reflection of this idea that taxes, support, and for burial, you don't have to go through the standard procedure of sale. So when you're selling these properties, you don't need hachras, you don't need to make a proclamation, declaration. Like say, for example, you're selling off estates. Generally speaking, in order to fetch the best price, you got to start announcing. You, for these absolute needs, you don't have to. And then leisha liasma l'shutve, and then for a woman, for an orphan, and for a partner, mishum dina de bar mitzvah. You don't have to dina de bar mitzvah. For a woman to sell, again, it's not the most usual thing.
Sell it to leisha.
Yes. So he's selling it to a woman. So it's okay. The explanation is going to be basically the same. But yes, you're right. So it's right. Rashi says lav arech arla duri lavakesh mishiyesh lo karkos limkor. So there, once again, it's not normal where you're going to start asking around. You know, the woman can't just simply buy property anywhere. And so now, again, it speaks to this idea that it's not just an arbitrary, I could have sold it to anybody, sold it to a woman, or I sold it to orphans, or I sold it to a partner, meaning one partner bought out the other partner. In these circumstances, again, it's a special relationship between the buyer and the seller, and so therefore you don't have to extend the courtesy to the neighbor and say, hey, do you want to buy it first? Okay. Fine. So in my Gemara, I have number 9 different scenarios and where you don't have to extend the courtesy of Din Dabar Metzah to your neighbor. Okay, the Gemara is going to take a small little break, and I'm reading the Gemara, I'm learning the Gemara now like Rashi, where these next examples of the Gemara are not Din Dabar Metzah examples, but just basically prioritizing who you should be selling property to. Shechina here v'shechina asada. Let's say the choice is between a neighbor in the city or a neighbor out in the field. Right, you live in the city, you live next to somebody, but in terms of your fields are adjacent to another person's field. And so therefore you have two options of who to sell to. Should I sell to my neighbor who lives next to me? I mean, meaning he actually lives next to me, or a neighbor whose property is next to my property. So Shechina, your code means, so you should sell to a neighbor of the city before a neighbor of your field. Shachim v'tam chacham, if my choices are between a neighbor and a tam chacham, so tam chacham kodim. So therefore you should sell first to a tam chacham. Again, the prioritization, you should give him the first right. It pretty much seems obvious, I'm a little hesitant, but we're talking about where there's not going to be any financial loss to the seller.
We're not talking about Dina Bar Mitzvah.
Rashi says we're not talking about Dina Bar Mitzvah now. We're just talking about prioritization. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. And then Karv v'Talmid Chacham. So the Gemara says, what if the choice is between a relative or Talmid Chacham? So Talmid Chacham Kodim. So we love our relatives, but Talmid Chachamim, you should support them. You should help them. And so the Talmid Chacham should come before the Karav. Now, Yibailu Shachim v'Karav Mai, so the Gemara says, okay. So now we have pretty clear priorities of who should come before whom. One thing which is a little bit unclear is, what if it's the choice is between a neighbor and a relative? Who should I sell for? Tashma, Tov Shachim, Karov Me'ach Rechok. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk of Mishlei, and the Pasuk of Mishlei gives us sage advice of who do we prefer, and the Pasuk says it very clearly, a neighbor is better than a distant relative. You have a good neighbor, he's always going to be there, he's always going to help you. You need a cup of flour. Okay, in other words, he's somebody who it's better to engender a good relationship with.
A relative who's distant.
Fine. That's fine. Okay. Okay. We are now resuming. Okay, that was a short break. And yes, the way Rashi learned the Gemara, that was a little bit strange that we went through the... We're going through all the halacha of the Dina Bar Mitzvah, and the Gemara just took a break to talk about prioritizing who the buyer should be. Okay, admittedly, it's a strange format of the Gemara, but that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Okay, hani zuzi taviv, hani zuzi tekile. Let's say the person, the seller's offering you good money, like real good money, and your neighbor's offering you money, but we're talking about the actual physical money. It's not that qualitatively, it's not that good. So then, so once again, you're extending the courtesy to your neighbor, but you don't have to lose because of this courtesy. So if the money you're receiving, the actual physical money you're receiving, is better, so then go take the better money. Hani tsari v'hani shari. Let's say, two offers that are being made, one by an outsider and the other by your neighbor, and the neighbor's offering you money, but all that money is tied up. And again, we're talking about literally, physically, the monies are tied up. And what you're going to now have to do is separate each money, examine both sides of the money, make sure the coins are good coins, and then hani shari. While the outsider, on the other hand, is offering you money where it's not tied up, it's clear, it's evident that all the money is good money. So let's pay mishum dina to buy mitzvah. So once again, if the money that's being offered you by an outsider is qualitatively better, so then you don't have to extend the courtesy to your neighbor. Amar, Ezo, the Itrach Vaise Zuze. So let's say your neighbor says to you, I want to buy your property, but just give me some time. I got to put my whole act together. I got to collect some money. So once again, the courtesy extended to your neighbor is nice, but you don't have to wait as a result of this courtesy. And so you don't have to say, oh, sure, no problem at all. Amar, Ezo Aisei Zuzei. If, however, he's not saying, I got to be Toreach, he's saying, I have the money, just do me a favor. Again, wait. Yeah, correct. I got to go make a withdrawal. So, Chazina. So the Gemara says, at this point in time, yeah, no. Do we extend the courtesy? So, Igavar da Amir hu da Azol Maisi Zuzei Natrinle. So the Gemara says, this falls under the category of common sense. If he's got the money, if he's a wealthy individual, he's got the money. So then, yes. And Vilo lo Natrinle. But otherwise, don't wait for him. Okay. Ar dechad ubate dechad. So let's say we have a property where the property itself is owned by one person, and there's a house on the property, and the house is owned by another person. Okay, we have such structures, such setups in the Gemara a number of times. Later on in the Masechta or in Baba Basra, we're going to be talking about where one person owns one floor, another person owns the second floor. So it is not uncommon, it's not unusual, where you could have this breakup of ownership where property is owned by one and the house on the property is owned by the other. So Mari Ara Ma'akev, Amari Bate. So what can happen now under these circumstances is that the owner of the property can say to the owner of the house, no, you're not going to sell him. He can prevent the owner of the house to sell. Because basically, it's my... Right. I want the house. Right. It's sitting on my property. So fine. So Mari Bate Loma Akev, Amari Da'ara. But conversely, the owner of the house cannot say to the owner of the property, hey, wait one second. Don't sell it to somebody else. Don't sell your property to somebody else. Continuing, let's say a property is owned by one person.
Anyone else?
Hmm?
This is the case of neighbor more than any of the others.
Yeah, okay. I hear. So let's say the property is owned by one person and the tree on the property is owned by another person. So Mari Dare Matima Akev Amar Dikla. So the owner of the property can say to the owner of the tree, no, you're not going to sell it to somebody else, meaning you'll sell it to me, it's sitting on my property. However, once again, the converse is not true. Mari Dikla Lo Matima Akev Amare Dara. But the owner of the tree can't say to the owner of the property, hey, don't sell the property to somebody else, sell it to me. No, the owner of the property can sell it to whoever he wants. Okay, we're not talking about neighbors, we're just talking about where his only holdings on the property is a tree. So with a tree holding, you don't get to dictate who the seller, who the buyer of the property is going to be. You have a choice of either selling it for building a house or Aral Azara, or selling it for planting. So Yishuv Adav. So the Gemara says Yishuv is preferable. Yishuv over here means house, population, inhabitants. Okay. And so therefore, if your neighbor just wants to turn your house into a garden, into like a little field, and the outsider wants to actually build a house on it, so preference, the courtesy is not extended to your neighbor. Afstik Mishunisa, Orichva Dedikla. Let's say there is a little gap between your property and your neighbor's property. So again, the entire theme of the remainder of yesterday's daf was extending a credit to your neighbor. What is considered your neighbor? So if it's your if his property is perfectly contiguous with your property, that's a neighbor. But what if there's like a little hedge separating you and your neighbor? So if he can stick a row in, so then it's din de bar metzra. Now, I'm not really sure, I'm admitting, what that means to stick a row in. Meaning that he can reach over the little border, the little boundary, in order to plant a row. Maybe I'm not perfectly clear.
If there's a rose in this field, and if he can extend it to the other one, then.
Okay. Rock,
they can't do it.
Right. Okay. Fine. Otherwise, in other words, if there's enough distance separating you and the neighbor physically, so then it's not, he's not considered for the halachas of din de bar metzra. He's not considered a neighbor, and you don't have to extend courtesy. Hani dal b'nei metzarna dekadim chad minay v'zavin zvine zvine. Let's say you're neighboring four different people. Now you're neighboring four different people, so there are now four people who you need to extend courtesy to. So let's say one of them comes over to you and says, "Hi, I'd like to buy your property." So first come, first serve. Okay, now, v'kulo asa b'hadei hadadei. Now the Gemara says, now let's say of your four neighboring properties, they all come to you, knock on the door at the same time, and in unison they say, we'd like to buy your property. So at that point in time, there's this halach of din de bar metzra. So there is a courtesy that you need to extend. In this particular case, your property is a buttressing four different properties. They're all coming simultaneously. What do? Pagale b'kor nazil. So to that, the Gemara's conclusion is, yeah, you should divide it, but divide it in a corner zil. The word actually sounds exactly like the word corner. Okay? And basically what you're going to do is X marks the spot. You see the Rashi, you see the picture in the Rashi, where you have a box, that's the property, and now the four neighboring properties, are each one of them want it, so then just simply divide the pie evenly. Create two diagonals on the square, and then each of buttressing property is going to get a triangle.
No, but that's not what he's. Why don't you just make a lottery?
I would say again, a little more common sense. If they're not satisfied with that, so yeah, then
they may not want it.
Right.
But you get to share. If you have a lottery, only one person wins.
And you get more money selling.
Correct.
The whole thing.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Right, I understand. There are more factors. You have to put all the factors together. You're right. Okay. Kuf Tesem and Aleph. We're starting out today's daf, and once again a Mishnah. Okay. And you know what we need to do every time we see a Mishnah, the ninth parak of Bamitzia. So go back to Kuf Dalet. Go to look at the top of Kuf Dalet and Aleph, and we're given our instructions. Amr of Papa, I'm just reviewing. The Gemara all the way back. Hani Tarti Misnesa Kamaisa. When you see the first two Mishnahs of the of the ninth parak of Bamitzia. So Mishkach Labein Bechacharanusa, Bein Bekablanusa. So it's talking both about a tenant farmer, it's talking about a sharecropper. Mikan Ve'elach, the Isa Bekablanusa, Leisa Bechacharanusa, the Isa Bechacharanusa, Leisa Bekablanusa. And after that point in time, going forward, it's going to be one or the other, cannot be both. So just remember that. It's been a while since we saw a Mishnah. The last Mishnah we saw was on Kuf Vav Amud Beis. So Kuf Zayin Kuf Ches were without Mishnayos. So here we go now, another Mishnah in the ninth parak. Again, I numbered, just try to be a little bit more organized. So this is after the first two Mishnayos, this is now the ninth Mishnah of the My counting included the first two Mishnayos. Okay, so this is the ninth Mishnah of the Perek. So let's say you're taking a field and you're taking it for a limited number of years. So don't plant flax. What's wrong with flax? Nothing. It's just, flax really does a number on your property. Rashi writes, first of all, in terms of what does it mean a limited number of years, anything less than 7 years. Don't plant flax. Look at the second Rashi on the Mishnah. Shezer pishan machish ba'aretz harbei. Because flax really does a number on the property. It weakens the property. Ve'enechozeros liyoshna ad zayin shanim. It takes 7 years to recover from a harvest of flax. V'hala metukma ela b'chachiros. And then Rashi tips his cap in terms of what our Mishnah is talking about. And Rashi says it's talking about tenant farming. Remember, by sharecropping, you're going to be making a equitable division between you and the owner. I don't really mean equitable, meaning it's not 50-50, but whatever the percentages are, he's getting a share of the crop. So whatever you're planting, he's becoming a partner in. So Rashi says, so therefore you can do whatever you want. That part of Rashi is debatable, meaning, right.
Agreed.
But in other words, Barashi says, I'm just talking about a tenant farmer. He's coming, he's planting, he's only paying a fixed amount. So it's really not your property. You really are leasing the property. You're not like a partner in it. Therefore, don't ruin the property. You want to return it to an owner in the same state that you got it in. So once you plant flax, and once you are leasing it for a limited number of years, anything less than 7, you're going to be diminishing the quality of the property, and you cannot do that. That's Rashi's understanding of our Mishnah. So, Makabel Sadam Echavel Shanim Ha'atos Lo Yizron Pishtan, continuing in the Mishnah, Ve'en La Bekor Shikma. And also, don't cut down the sycamore tree for the wood. Again, same basic idea. The sycamore tree takes a number of years to grow back, and once again, you cut it down and you take the wood, so you are going to be now returning the property to its owner, not in the same state that you got it. Rashi writes, Eitz Srak Shuhu Sycamore. Because it's enough of the course of Binyan, Vehein, Chosim, Vigidalim. So you're going to cut down the tree for its wood, and it's going to grow back. Upachos Mezayin Shanim Ein Asins Koros. And it's not, it'll take 7 years for it to grow back. Hilkach kibbol apachos mezayin shanim lo yikotz kor sheba delav aydaite dekaros nachis. Once you are leasing it for less than 7 years, it's understood, it's like an implicit agreement between owner and farmer that you're not going to cut down the wood. Dibishanim uatos einim chosim lekoros, because it's simply not going to grow back.
You're talking about cutting branches or cutting the tree itself?
Because
I thought you couldn't cut trees.
It was sycamore. In other words, they'd say it's not a fruit tree. Okay. So, Kibla Heimenu Lezayin Shanim. Back to the Mishnah. And now the next point of the Mishnah is going to be obvious, but obviously in the context of our Mishnah, Kibla Heimenu Lezayin Shanim, but once you accept the land to lease the land for 7 years, Shanim Vishon Yisra'enu Pishtam V'yesh L'Bekor Shikma. So now, in that first year, you can harvest flax. In that first year, you can cut down the sycamore tree. Because by the time the lease is over, it's going to go back and you're going to be returning the property to its owner as it was when you originally leased it. Amar Abaye, starting with the Gemara. Bekor shikma ein lo b'shevach shikma yeshla. Okay, so here's what we just learned together. In our Mishnah, when you're leasing a land for less than 7 years, so you don't get the... You don't get to cut down the tree. However, in the 5-6 years that you're leasing the land, there's going to be growth. it's going to be, because you tended to the field, the sycamore tree is going to be larger, it's going to be bigger than what you started. Can we assess that growth, and then can I take the shevach of that growth with me? So Abaye says, yes, you can take the shevach. And Rava Amar Afilu b'shevach shek banami ein lo. And Rava says, no, you can't take the shevach. Now, the Gemara starts off probing which position seems more defensible. We start with the brayta. If you accept upon yourself, if you lease a property from a owner, and the time comes to go, so we do some sort of evaluation. What is the brayta talking about? So if you're a baye, I'll tell you exactly what the brayta is talking about. Look, there was growth in the property. The sycamore tree now is larger than where we started. So let's appraise how much larger it was. Let me take the value of that growth. So lo, the Gemara says, no, that's not what the brayta means. Shamam lo yurak v'silka. Well, no. In other words, when you left the field, there were still some vegetables growing in the field. And let's assess, in other words, so now, I worked that land, I worked hard on that land, and there's growth in the field. So let's assess now that extra value, and I'll take either a percentage or whatever. In other words, I'm entitled to some of that, to some of that value. So the Gemara says, Yakov v'silka, nakov v'nishko. What are we talking about? If we're talking about the growth in the field, so harvest it and sell it like you normally would do. So the Gemara says, b'dol mata yuma deshuka. The Gemara says, no, it's just simply not the right market. It's not the right time. And so therefore, we can't just simply arbitrarily cut it now. So the lease is over. I'm returning it to its owner, but it's got more value. That's what the brayta means when it says shamim. That's what we're going to be evaluating. Tashma. Gemara quotes another Mishnah. Another brayta. So let's say you're leasing a land, and in the middle of the lease, the Shemitah year comes around. So here we're going to do an evaluation. And again, what are we talking about? Shviyas mikam mafka ara. So first of all, what are we talking about? If the Shviyas year comes in the middle of your lease, which you kind of knew was going to happen, but there's not going to be any yield in that year, you're not allowed to plant in that year. So what are we appraising? So the Gemara says, okay, so Braisa is really difficult to understand, so we'll just make a small little editing of the Braisa. We didn't mean Shemitah, we meant Yovel. So the Gemara says it didn't help. So the Gemara says, okay, but Yovel's not going to change anything. And if you're leasing a property, it doesn't go back to its owner in Yovel. The property never changed hands. From the beginning, the contract was you're leasing the property. You're just working, and I say lease the property, you're just working the property. You're not an owner of the property. Let's make some arachmana. The Torah only says that in Yovel, lands go back to its original owner when you sold it. Here, there was no sale. All you're doing is hiring a farmer to work your land and either sharecropping or tenant farming. But he's not an owner. Yeah. So Yovel's not going to change anything. So Ella, Ema...
Yeah, but the he's not getting anything. That
okay, but there's no... Agreed, but there's no shuma. Well, what are we evaluating?
You should pay back less to the owner. The chacha has to give a set amount back every year to the owner.
Right.
You could say in Shviyas, I'm not getting anything.
But that doesn't require a shuma. A shuma means that there's something that we need to appraise. This is you're not discussing appraisal. You're just talking about I'm not paying that year. That's not shuma. So the Gemara says Ela'im alokech sade mechavero. So the Gemara says fine. You're right. Here's what we're talking about. Again, we're going to have to edit the brisa one more time because right now the brisa is just not. It doesn't seem to be making any sense. So alokech sade mechavero v'igia yovel. So we're talking now about a sale. I sell the yovel. I sell a land, and the yovel year comes. So now we're going to do a shuma. Now v'chite ma'achanam shaman lo biyarkav v'silka. So the Gemara says now what exactly are we appraising in the yovel year? So are we appraising the growth in the yovel year? So the Gemara says, well, that doesn't exist. Silka v'yarkav yovel have kerahu. It doesn't belong to you. You're not the owner of it. It's Hefker. So Alalav Shvach Shikma. So the Gemara says, so now when all is said and done, so you know what it's got to be? It's got to be the growth of the sycamore tree. When the trees grow in size, so now the person who bought the land, now who is returning the land to its rightful owner during the Yovel year, now says to him, okay, look, I'm returning the land to you as per the instructions of the Torah, but there's growth in the tree, and we're not going to cut down the tree. I get it, but we are going to do a shuma. We're going to make an appraisal of what kind of growth there was, and I'm taking the shevach with me. And if this is a correct shot in the Braisa, after a couple of editings, if this is a correct shot in the Braisa, so then this is going to be good for Abaye. Difficult for Rava. Tirgama Abaye, Liba de Rava. And once again, we just had this a day ago, 2 days ago. We're now going to see that Abaye is going to defend Rava. Because again, they're not interested in debate. They're interested in arriving the truth. So, Tirgama Abaye, Liba de Rava, Shani Hasam, Damakra. So the Gemara says, no, over there, it's different. Meaning, when we're talking about not a leasing of a land, but the sale of a land, which in Eretz Yisrael effectively is a lease, but we mean a transfer of ownership of property in Eretz Yisrael. So there, vayatza memkar, base, vayatza memkar, bias, memkar chozer, shevach eno chozer. So the Gemara says that the Torah is very clear. What is returned to its original owner? The sale is returned to the original owner. But as far as the land itself is concerned, if there is growth in the land, so the person who was responsible for that growth is able to keep that growth. So the Gemara says, so that's why by Yovel, yes, the person who had the land during the interim is entitled to the Shevach. So the Gemara says, V'nigmar mine, okay, so we're all now in agreement that if I am selling a land to somebody and the Yovel year comes and the year and the land is returned, so the Shevach is in fact going to be recouped by the holder of that property. So the Gemara says, so why can't at least now that serve as a base model, a precedent? And now let's learn from there that if I have a sharecropper, a tenant farmer who's working a land and the sycamore tree grew, so at least at the end of his term, let him walk away with the Shevach. So Hasam is Vinamal Yehuvi Yovav Kasa Demalkehi. So the Gemara says, no, it's different, I'll tell you why. When it comes to Yovel, the sale is a sale. It is the sale is viewed from the Torah standpoint as a full sale from seller over to buyer. The fact that it returns back to the original seller, Afkasa Demalka. Kadosh Baruch Hu demanded that to be so. Over here, however, there was no sale of the land. All I'm doing is allowing you to work my land, and the contract is such where you're going to be paying me a fixed amount, a share. But in other words, this is not a sale, and so therefore you're not entitled to the Shevach.
Republic. We had this argument before when the Choicher says, I improved the tree, and the owner says, but my land also is the one who's...
You're right.
So the Gemara said that they split it a certain way. So what's the whole argument over here?
The argument over here is that the tree is really part and parcel of the property. Mm-hmm. And the property never was owned by the Chocher. He works it, he's entitled to yield. But he's not entitled to growth of a tree. Again, this I'm defending Rava's position right now. That tree's not the tree's not yours. A tree
had something to do with its growth.
He argued that he could have used that space where a tree was to grow. That's coming up right now.
That argument's coming right up. Okay, Rav Papa Kabel Ara Laspasta. Okay, Rav Papa accepted a field in order to grow aspasta, again some sort of fodder for an animal, and Kadcha Batale. And what he did is basically he planted trees to where he should have and pledged that he was going to plant aspasta. So kika mistalek amaluhu havali shavcha. So now Rav Papa says, okay, now the terms of the tenant farming is now over. And yes, I know I was supposed to plant aspasta, but I planted the tree grew, and so I want shevach. So he's demanding shevach. So Amalei Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi L'Rav Papa Ela Me'ata Tikla Va'alim Hachanami Dabai Mar Shavchei. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If there was a tree there, and the tree grew in size, so do you really think you want the extra growth of that tree? So Amalei, I'm sorry, Mar Shavchei Amalei Hasam Lav Adaita Da'achi Nachis. So the Gemara says, well, Rav Papa says, look, I understand that if there was a tree there and the tree grew in size, so I'm not going to expect to get a percentage of the growth of that tree, but that's not why I went there to begin with. But ana hacha adaita dahachi nechisna. But over here, my goal was to plant something and to collect a percentage or part of the yield. So over here, instead of aspasa, I plant the trees, so I should be entitled to at least some of it. So come on, kabai. So the Gemara says, okay. But Rapapa, what are you arguing? You're arguing that the halacha should be like abaye? Generally speaking, in the machlokes between Abaye and Rava, the halacha falls like Rava. And Rava does not entitle the sharecropper to receive shevach of the sycamore tree. So the Gemara says, the Amar b'shevach shekma yeshlo, so afilo timka Rava. So the Gemara says, so our papa says, no. As far as the machlokes between Abaye and Rava is concerned, I'm going to sound like Rava, but what I'm going to argue is that in this scenario, I think Rava would agree, and Rava would entitle me to the shevach. Why? Because hasam leifle pseda, hacheika pseda. Because over here, what happened? I agreed to work the field, and I agreed to plant something and get something in return for my planting. So I know. We said aspasta. I know. But instead, I made the executive decision that I'm going to plant trees. So you're going to tell me now, well, I'm not working away with the trees, I'm not working away with the shevach. Yeah, but my goal was to plant something and to get something in exchange for that. And now you're telling me nothing? So even Rava would agree that I'm entitled to shevach if I'm standing to lose. So the Gemara says, Amalei mai p'sida sech. So the argument back to Rapapa is, well, let's see if we can quantify what kind of loss we're talking about. Yada de aspasta, meaning you took literally real estate. You took real estate, and instead of using it for aspasta, you used it for the tree. You're talking about that kind of loss? Shkol yada de aspasta vizil. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what? I'll even give you this. You telling me that you sacrificed real estate in order to plant the trees, and you could have planted a spasta, so I'll allow you this. The amount of real estate that you used up for the tree, so you want now a portion of the aspasta of that real estate? So fine. So Amalei ana korkama rishka ravai. To which Rapapa says, okay, wait 1 second. Once I'm giving up real estate, and now we're looking at the opportunity lost, so now I can make the argument that it didn't have to be aspasta. I could have planted something over there that was much more valuable. So again, now we're talking about opportunity lost, and we don't know what that opportunity could have represented. And you're going lowball on me. You're saying aspasta, animal fodder. I could argue, I can counter by saying charkom, a saffron. So you know what? So again, just at least allow me, I planted trees, at least allow me to receive a portion of the shevach of those trees. So I'm like, galita daicha dila mishkal v'stilkli avarata. So to which now the counter argument against Rapapa is as follows. Okay, so you just tipped your hat and you just showed your cards, and here's what you are now admitting. You're admitting that your goal was to plant something and take it with you. So shkol karkama rishka vizil. And you're telling me, well, I could have planted saffron. So I'll tell you what. You didn't. And you'll take your saffron with you. Meaning, you didn't plant the saffron. The goal was to plant something and take it with you. You planted trees. You're not taking the tree with you. You're not taking the shevach with you as well. So, en lecha ela demei etzim avad, right? All you're going to get is demei etzim, but basically, you're not going to get a shevach of the etzim that you yourself have demanded. Rabbi Bi Bar Abaye, kabel arav ahadole mishunisa. Rabbi Bi Bar Abaye, accepted a property in order to work the land, basically accepted upon himself sharecropping, tenant farming, one of the two, and Ahadalei Mishunisa Kadchube Zardasa. And around the perimeter of the field, so he planted some sort of
stone.
Rashi says okay, so stones protruded around the border. And around those stones, so there was some sort of growth that grew around the stones. Right? More something like that. So once again, as he's leaving the field, so he says, look, we're going to, again, share crops. So we're going to split the crop. And whatever, if it's tenant farming, I'll pay you. But I also am responsible for that growth around the perimeter. So what I want now is a share in that as well. So we're talking now to the son of Abaye, and he says to him, you are a descendant from Mimulai, right? From Eli Hanavi. So, and because of that, so you say things which are short in nature. Obviously, it is a barb, it is an insult. And if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, Mimulami base Eli, Shayim Mishpacha Ru'ua. So it's a bad family. And Amritza Milimul Yasa, Rashi, Dvarim Gavnunim, Lashon Mulya Bamulya Bamoikatan Gashushi. And you say things that are basically short sighted, right? Doesn't make any sense. Afilu Rapapalo Amarelad Islay Pseida, Hachamai Pseida Islach. Even when Rapapa was making the argument, I didn't plant crop. I planted trees. I'm entitled to my shavach. At least within Rav Papa's argument, you were taking away precious real estate that instead of planting crop over there, you planted the trees. Over here, you're talking around the perimeter of the field. In other words, this didn't represent for you any kind of loss whatsoever. It didn't encroach on the field at all. You, therefore, are not entitled to any of the shavach of something that is not on the field directly. Rav Yosef Havale Hahi Shetala. Rav Yosef had a shetala. Rashi, Notea Karen Bekarka Balabais Valavlios Aris Kol Hayamim V'Notel Mechza Beperos. So here in this kind of designed agreement between the sharecropper and the owner, so you agree to plant the vineyard and harvest the vineyard. So you're really doing all the work, and Rav Yosef dedicated himself to this kind of relationship. Shachiv, Rav Yosef died. V'shavu chamisha chas v'nasa. And now five son-in-laws are now left with the responsibility of taking care of the property. Amar. So to which he said, Ad ha'ina chad hashta chamisha. So he said, I don't like this arrangement now. Up until now, there was one person responsible. Now there are five people responsible. And, right, you've heard me make fun of committees before, but let's do it again. Okay? Why not? A committee. Okay, that's great. Committees are fantastic. Right? They don't do anything. In other words, when you want somebody to do, right, when you want somebody to do something, so you give the responsibility to one individual, and he'll take care of it. But once it's a group of people taking care of it, so then it's a diffusion of responsibility. Nobody's going to take care of it. Fine. So the argument now by the owner is, look, when one person was responsible, I was happy. Five people responsible, that doesn't make me happy. With the five of you now looking at one another, seeing who's going to take care of it, so now that's my loss. I don't want your your shared responsibility to be my loss.
So who died? The sharecropper.
The sharecropper died. Yes. So I'm a lehuish akil to shavchiu mestaku mutav v'ilam masakin aluchu below shavcha. So he says, look, here's what I'm doing. I'm dismissing you. Now I'll dismiss you with the shvach, meaning you planted it, you grew it. So I'll dismiss you with the shvach, but your other option is I'll dismiss you with no shvach. So right now I'm dismissing you. You're fired. and the only thing you're going to tell me is you're entitled to the shvach that I'm ready to give you. But in other words, but there's no other option.
How can he dismiss them when the father was the one that he still has to?
He has the contract. The father, right? The father had the contract.
But they are the ownership.
Yeah. Correct. I totally understood. But his argument is a very powerful argument, meaning I don't think that you're properly going to take care of the land. So the Amar of Yehuda Vitim, Rav Huna Vitim, Rav Nachman, Hayshatal the Shach of Yorshim, Dilei Mistakin Alehu Below Shavcha. So the Gemara says now there is an opinion that he's quoting that when the principal sharecropper dies and the contract now is passed on to his children, there can be not only a dismissal of them, but also no shvach. So he says, so the owner is saying to them, I could exercise that position against you. So right now, I say, take the shvach. Leave and take the shvach. That's what I'll say to you. And the Gemara awkwardly ends, and we're going to end over here. And the Gemara awkwardly ends by saying that's not really an opinion. Meaning, the truth of the matter is that they really are entitled to the Shvach, and there's no position that says that they're not entitled to the Shvach. And he said that really to kind of
further pressure them
to not only excuse themselves on the property, but accept the Shvach and be done with it.